Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos Daf Pei Aleph. We will begin on Daf Pei Amud Beis, the bottom line. The Mishnah taught us Hasaritz Shecholos Levimta. If a Saris did Chalitza with his Yevimta, with his Yevama Leipasla, he does not make her disqualify from marrying a Kayin. Even though, as we've learned, Baruch Hashem, many times in our Masechta, that the Aloch is that a Kayin may not marry a chalutza. Our Mishnah taught us that since, as we learned in our previous shurim, a saris doesn't have to do chalitza, so the chalitza that he did was a meaningless act. Since the chalitza that he did was a meaningless act, he doesn't disqualify her by doing chalitza. But, says the Gemara, if he did beer with her, which, as we just explain, is something that should not have taken place. And we know whenever a woman has bia with a kayin, when she should not have had bia with the kayin, the halacha is that she be with someone which she should not have had, then that woman becomes disqualified from ever marrying a kayin. That's why our Mishnah says that this woman becomes disqualified from marrying a kayin. Says the Gemara, Tama, the reason she is disqualified, the Balu, who? Because the Saris had relations with her. Her Acher, if it was a different person who had relations with her, Loi, she would not become disqualified. Which is interesting, because even though, as we just explained, this brother should not have had beer with her, because a person who is a Saris doesn't do Yibum, but there are other brothers. And we've discussed many times, what is the status of a woman who had bia when she's a Yevam L'shuk? And from our Gemara, it seems that just because a woman had bia when she's a Yevam L'shuk, she doesn't become disqualified for a Kayin. Lemetev Tiyufta, should we say that this diuk that we just made in our Mishnah is a question of what Rav Huna taught us? Damra, Rav Huna taught us that Shaveris Yavam Shazimtsa, if a Shemeris Yavam had relations with someone that she's not supposed to, Pasla Liyavma, she becomes disqualified to the brothers. And just like she becomes disqualified to the brothers because of this act, because she becomes a Zayna, she certainly should become disqualified from a Kayin. So why does our Mishnah seem to say that if she has relations with someone else, she wouldn't become disqualified? Says Marloi. Of course, the halacha is that even if she had relations with somebody else, she would become disqualified from marrying a Kayin. And hu adin lafilu achanami, that even if she had relations with anyone that she's not supposed to have relations because she's a Shemeris Yavam and she should be marrying one of the brothers, or having chalitza at least from one of the brothers, that until then she's a Yavam L'shuk. So why didn't the Mishnah say so? Says the Gemara, V'adid Tana Reisha B'didei, because the Mishnah began discussing what is the halacha if the Saris does chalitza, and as we began the shiur today, when the Saris does chalitza, his act is considered insignificant. Tananami Sefer B'didei, so we also spoke about what happens when it's the Saris who does Yibam. But that doesn't mean that only if the Saris does Yibam would we have an issue. If anybody had relations with her prior to her dealing with her Zika, then there would be a concern here. Says the Gemara further, we learned in the Mishnah, V'ken Ailnes Shecholtzlu Achim, if Ailnes received Chalitza from one of the brothers, she does not become disqualified. Because as we said earlier, since she's not a candidate for Chalitza, so that Chalitza is considered a meaningless act. And when we have something which is a meaningless act, it doesn't disqualify her. However, if she had Bia from one of the brothers, that is a very serious isser. And the reason we explained it's considered a very serious isser, because it's a situation of Eishasach. As a point that we've made from the beginning of the Masechta, One of the important principles we've established from the beginning of Masechta is that actually a sister-in-law, Eish Esach, is a very serious erva. The only reason, when is it not considered a serious erva? It's not considered a serious erva when the Torah gave the mitzvah of Yibum. But in any circumstance where the Torah does not give the mitzvah of Yibum, it reverts back to Eish Esach. So if an idleness is not a candidate for Yibum, and one of the brothers did have relations with her, that means there was a chiv karis here. There was an eishes ach. It's eishes ach taking place, and that's why she becomes certainly personal to a kohen. Tam de blua. The only reason, says the Gemara, she becomes disqualified is because she had this act of relations, which we just said should not have happened. Loi balua. But if not for that, loy, she would not be disqualified from marrying a kohen. Says the Gemara Kaman, whose opinion is our Mishnah following? Our Mishnah is following the like Rabbi Yehuda. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, ha'ama ayinus zaynahi. As we discussed earlier in the Masechta, we had a Mishnah, who is considered a zayna. There were many different opinions. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that an ayinus is always considered an individual who is possible to, who is a zayna, that a kohen may not marry. As we learned, the reason is because the pasuk says in Hosea, his nuv lo yifroitzu, someone who's lo yifroitzu, someone who's incapable of having children of yifroitzu, somebody who's incapable of multiplying, is considered a zayna according to him. We've learned previously that a sris chama is an individual who has different halachas. Says the Gemara, sris chama, somebody who's a sris chama, as we explained in the previous year, that means he was a soris from birth, shenasa bas Yisrael, that he's a kohen. And the halach is that a sris chama is allowed to marry the Issa of Layova B'tzu Daka only refers, as we said, to a sris Adam, a person who became a soris later on in life. But a sris chama is not considered an individual who's osud lava b'kol. So kohen sris chama shenosu bas Yisrael, the married bas Yisrael, and the halach is, as we've learned in this Masechta, that whenever a bas Yisrael marries a kohen, she may commence eating truma, as the pasuk says, v'kohen kikin nefesh kinyan kaspoy who yoichel bav yilei beisoy heim yoichel b'lachmoy. So this sris chama married a woman, machil b'truma. Rabbi Yisrael Shimon Oyma, androgynous. An androgynous is an individual who has both the simonim of a male and a female. Koyin shenosu bas Yisrael, machila b'troma. It's obviously, and we'll speak about this in the Gemara extensively, that Rabbi Yisrael of Shimon's opinion are that this individual is considered a male. And since he's considered a male, so any male who marries a woman, his wife eats truma. Rabbi Yehuda Oyma, tumtum. A tumtum is an individual that the place where reproductive organs are covered, and we don't know how to establish if he's a male or female. Shenikra, and that place gets uncovered. V'nimtza zachar, and it turns out that he's a male. Lo yachlitz, he may not do chalitza. Nei shu karis, he is a soris, and as I saw the Rishonim point out, that we discussed in our previous year various simonim that make a person into a soris. Say the Rishonim, that isn't applicable by a tumtum. A tumtum shenikra, if you have a tumtum that is open, that his area that was covered is uncovered, that automatically makes him into a soris. That automatically makes him into a soris. Androgynous. An individual who's an androgynous, noise, he can marry a woman, because as we learned, the opinions are that androgynous is considered a male. Avlainisa, he can't get married because he's considered a full-fledged male. Rabbi Lezer Oimer, androgynous chayiv alav zachar. Rabbi Lezer says that just like the halach is if somebody has mishkav zachar, his chayiv skila. The halacha is, when is there a chayiv for mishkav zachah when androgynous? Says Rabbi Eliezer, when it was done in the place of his zachrus, of his male organ. Because as we said, androgynous has a male and a female organ. So if the place where he has his male organ, another male, had relations, that is considered as if he had mishkav zachar. But if in the place where he has the organ as a female, there was relations done with him, that will not be considered mishkav zachar. So the Mishnah began that a sris chama gives his wife to eat truma. Ask them a pshita, why not? If we're learning that sris chama is allowed to get married, and there's no issue with his getting married, so a kohen should certainly be allowed, if this individual is a kohen, so as we often say, a kohen's wife is entitled to eat truma. Pshita, answers the Gemara, madu tema, we would perhaps suggest that only moiled, only a kohen who has the ability to have children from this relationship, machel, that's when he's able to, that his wife should eat truma. Shaina moiled, but if their children cannot be born from this relationship, ain't a machel. In such a situation, the wife doesn't eat truma, kamash malon. And the reason we would think so is that, as we said before, the pasuk said, v'yilid beisoy hei meyoichlu b'lachmo. So we think only in a situation where there's yilid beisoy, where their children born, that's when they could have children, that's when truma is given to eaten. Otherwise not. Kamash Malan, that's what the Mishnah that teach us, there is no such halacha. And if the marriage is legitimate, the wife is allowed to eat truma. So continues the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Yosef and Shimon Oima androgynous, that if an androgynous who is a kohen marries a woman, she's allowed to eat truma. Amma Rish Lakish, to which Rish Lakish comments, matchila b'truma, the only thing that the wife of an androgynous kohen may eat is truma, ei machila, but she may not eat chaz v'shoik. We know that when the carbon shlamim is brought, the halacha is that you have to give the chaz v'shoik of the carbon shlamim to the kohen, and the kohen's family members, as the Mishnah Masech Tzvachim, Daf Nun Hey Amar Aleph teaches, also eat from the chaz v'shoik. The halacha is that the wife of a androgynous is not entitled to eat the chaz v'shoik. In other words, the androgynous himself is allowed to eat the chaz v'shoik, but he's not able to give his family members to eat from the chaz v'shoik. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, af mechila b'chaz v'shoik, that she's entitled to eat, the family members are allowed to eat, of the androgynous are allowed to eat chaz v'shoik also. And now the Gemara asks, Reish Lakish, maishta chaz v'shoik, why chaz v'shoik are we disallowing her to eat? Because the eating of chaz v'shoik is a deraisa, and therefore, since we're concerned about their marriage, that's why by Surim Daraisa, we're not going to allow her to eat the Chaz V'Shoik. We're not going to be so confident in declaring that this androgynous is a Zachar. So ask the Gemara, Truma Nami Daraisa. Truma is also a Chiv Daraisa. So why are we differentiating? Answers the Gemara, Hachem Ma'iskinen, but Truma Bezman Azeh. We're referring to Truma Bezman Azeh, where Truma Bezman Azeh is only Drabonim. And that's why we're more lenient with truma than we are with the chaz v'shoik. Says the Gemara, "Abas man shebeis minish kai mai," but that means that when the beis hamikdash was standing and truma was a deraisa loy, then not only would an androgynous wife not be allowed to eat chaz v'shoik, she would not be allowed to eat truma either. So ask the Gemara, "Adatani," when Reish Lakish made a statement instead of saying, ask the Gemara, but she's not allowed to eat truma. That she's allowed to eat truma. But she's not allowed to eat chaz v'shoik. The Mishnah, the Rav Shlokish could have expressed himself, lifnik v'listnik b'dedei. The medvam amurim, when may the wife of an androgynous e truma, betruma drabonon, truma bezmanazet, avol betruma deraisa. When the Beis Hamikdash was kai was standing and the chi of truma was a deraisa, then loy stick to speaking about truma and differentiate between when truma is a deraisa versus when truma is a drabonon. Says the Gemara Hachinami Kamar. That's exactly, says the Gemara, what Rish Lakish meant to say. Shemechila, when he gives her to eat truma, mechila betruma mezvanazeh bedrabonon. When truma is a drabonon, which means another way of saying it, bezmanazeh, that's when she's allowed to eat truma. Emechila bezman chaz v'shoik. When chaz v'shoik was mentioned, it wasn't mentioned in a reference of a food. It was referenced in a time when there is chaz v'shoik. When there will be chaz v'shoik, and that means obviously, Baruch Hashem, the Beis Hamikdash will be standing. In such a time, she will not be allowed to eat even truma drabonon. There are many examples of truma drabonon. It really depends on which fruits are chayiv and truma. Many rishonim hold that truma is only on dogon grain. Tirosh is grape, the yitzar is olives. There are other Rishonim that say that truma is only on zayaminim. But everybody agrees that other fruits and other vegetables are not chayiv and truma midiraisa. The only chayiv and truma midrabonon. Says the Gemara that when the Beis HaMikdash will be standing, according to Rish Lakish, and at that time we will have truma midiraisa, even foods that will only at that point be chayiv and truma drabonon, a wife and androgynous will not be allowed to eat them. Why? Because we're concerned the ma'as lachma truma deraisa. Bezmanazeh, there is no truma deraisa at all. But in the time when there will be truma deraisa, in the time when there's going to be truma deraisa, even truma drabonon, she will not be allowed to eat because of the concern that if she's going to eat truma drabonon, she may come to eat truma deraisa. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch paskens, bezman hazeh, the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeh, Simon Shin Lam and Aleph Sif Beis, paskens, bezman hazeh, afilu b'makom shechzik by Oyle Bavel, afilu b'mei Ezra, places that we're going to be discussing in our shiurim, certainly have Kedushas at Yisrael, ein chiv trumas amaisas min ha-Torah, el medivreyim. The chiv truman in these places, bezman hazeh, is mederaisa, only medrabonon. Neishnamaki savol, mashma, bias kulchem, means when all of Klai Yisrael are in Yisrael v'loi b'yim k'tzason, k'may shahoysa b'may Ezra. And that's why the halacha is that truma b'zman hazeh is considered midrabanan. It's interesting to point out, the Rambam in Hilchas Macholos Asuris, Perek Yud Dalet, Halacha Yud Zayin, discusses if there's somebody who's a choylem masukin, somebody who's deathly ill, who of course has to do whatever he has to do, and he has to eat something which is not kosher. And the question is, what should he eat? Should he eat nevela, or should he eat non-kosher meat, or should he eat tevel, fruit, produce, from which truma and mice was not removed? And the Rambam paskens that he should preferably eat nevela. Because the rule is, whatever somebody is faced, Rachman Litzlan, with such a dilemma, the halach is we do hakala kal tchila. We give him the lighter iser. The iser for eating nevela is malchus. The iser for eating tevel is misa b'day shemayim. So since the iser nevela is considered a more severe iser, that's why he should eat nevela versus eating tevel. So the Noid of Yehuda asks a question. The Noid of Yehuda asks that the Isser Truma, this Isser Tevel Bezmanazeh, is only a drabonon, as we just quoted the Shulchan Aruch. Whereas the Isser Nevela is Isser that applies forever. So as the Noid of Yehuda, I don't understand the Pesach of the Rambam. So the Noid of Yehuda says that even though truma bezman hazeh is only midrabanan, the chiyuv meiser suggests the night of Yehuda, even bezman hazeh is a chiyuv deraisa. The truma is a chiyuv derabanan, but meiser is a chiyuv deraisa, even when we don't have all of Klai Yisrael and Etz Yisrael. So it turns out, produce which is tevel, the fact that truma wasn't removed is not a chiv, it's a deraisa. But the fact that maisa wasn't removed is a chiv deraisa, and that's why, since it carries with it a punishment, a misa b'day shemayim, that's why that's the halacha. That's why the Rambam said this halacha. The Chazon Ish disagrees. The Chazon Ish says that the Rambam certainly holds that even Meiser bezman hazeh is the Rabbanan. So how do we understand the Rambam's psak when the Rambam says it's preferable to eat tevel, which is only nisad Rabbanan, versus eating the nevela, which is an isser daraisa? Says the Chazon Ish that the Rambam wrote his sefer not limited to the time that we're living now, where truma is only an isser derabbanan. The Rambam wrote his sefer for all time, and Meher Yemenu, Mashiach is going to come, and then truma again, tevel, will again be an isser deraisa. I, says the Chazon Ish, there may be people that don't recognize that, and people will think that the Rambam wrote his sefer even bezman hazeh. And according to the Chazon Ish's understanding, bezman hazeh, the Rambam would agree that it's preferable to eat tevel versus eating. It's preferable to eat tevel versus eating nevela. Says the Chazon Ish, the Rambam wrote a sefer for Talmid Chachamim, and Talmid Chachamim will be able to recognize that distinction, and that's to whom the Rambam was addressing when he wrote his sefer. We learned further, Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the wife of an androgynous is entitled to eat chaz v'shoik. And Posh Pshat is that she's considered his full-fledged wife. And since she's considered his full-fledged wife, she could eat truma, she could eat chaz v'shoik. The halacha is that when we ever have a mix of issa v'heter, midaraisa, it becomes batel b'roiv, that it becomes nullified if the heter is more than this. So we look at what is the majority. And since the majority, and that's how we paskin. But there are certain things that are considered significant. And since the significant, they never become batel. One of those examples, which is going to be a big part of today's shir, is something which is a dovish of a minyan. Something that's sold by peace. And therefore, since it's sold by peace, the halacha is that it doesn't become bottle. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, mi savrit, do you indeed hold the truma bezman hazeh midrabanan? The truma bezman hazeh is midrabanan. Amalei in. So Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan, absolutely. Shani Shaina, why do I say this? Because I learned in a braisa, igal be'gulam oila. The halacha is, if a cake of dates, of truma tameya, fell into 100, amongst 100 cakes of dates that are tahar, the halacha is, they become batel. And the halacha by truma is, the halacha is that the shear is a shear of 100 to 1. And the halacha would then be, if you have this preparation ratio of 100 to 1, you take out 1, which you have to give to the Kohen, and you give it, and then you're allowed to eat the rest. This would be the halacha, whether it was truma tameya that fell in to truma tahira, and whether it would be truma that fell into chulin. In both cases, we have this ratio of 100 to 1, and once you have that proper ratio, it's fine. What do we see from here? that obviously Truma Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbanim. Because if the Chi of Truma Bizman Hazeh were the Raisa, it would not become bottle. Because an eagle is something which is Choshev. Sometimes they sell them a piece. And something which is sold by the piece, we said, is never bottle. So the question is, why is a bottle? Because the halach is that truma bezman hazeh is the rabbanon, and if it's truma bezman hazeh b'drabbanon, that's why we are lenient and allow the bittel of such a item. So we see here, says Rish Lakish, the fact that the Mishnah tells us this halacha is clearly an indication that truma bezman hazeh is drabbanon. Of course, the Rishonim ask a question. We said earlier that the only thing, according to many Rishonim, that are chayiv in truma are dogon tirish v'yitzer. So ta'enim are not dogon tirish v'yitzer. If that's the case, why is the halacha that maybe that's the reason why it's bottle? Because even when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, it was only chayiv in truma midrabanan. The answer to that question, say the Rishonim, is a concept that we learned a moment ago in our shiur. We learned in a time where there is truma d'oraisa, Chazal treat all trumas the same. Because people don't understand and recognize between produce which is truma d'rabbanan versus produce which is truma d'oraisa. So if it was talking about the Zman Shebeis Hamikdash Kayim, it wouldn't be that way. It's only because we're talking about truma bezman hazeh, where truma is drabanon, therefore it could become bottle, even though it's a davar shebeminyan, because it's only truma drabanon. There's a debate in the Rishonim, so it turns out that the truma of the teinim are drabanon for two reasons, bezman hazeh. Number one, because all truma bezman hazeh is drabanon, and number two, because teinim are always drabanon. When the Gemara is quoting the halacha, that the teinim become bottle, is it because it has two reasons that's the Rabbanon? Or even if it's one the Rabbanon, the halacha would be the same. Amalei, Rav Yochanan says, Haloi ani shayna chaticha b'chatichas oyla. I learned that even if a piece of carbon chatas meat were to fall in that became tamei, which of course may not be eaten, that fell into 100 pieces of chatas meat which are tahor, the halacha is that it's bottle. Why? Because he says, we now have to discuss the fundamental concept that we've been discussing, that a davar chashuv doesn't become bottle. What is the definition that a davar chashuv, something that's sold by piece, not bottle? Is it that it has to be something which is always sold by piece? Or is it enough that it's sometimes sold by piece? Says Rabbi Yochanan, I hold that eshedak lim l'shininu, only something that's always sold by piece is not bottle. And since meat is not always sold by piece, and since the gulei devela are not always sold by piece, that's why it becomes bottle. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan is saying to Rish Lakish, I disagree with your entire raya. And the reason I disagree with your entire raya is because I have a very, very different understanding of what is considered a davar chashuv that doesn't become bottle. You hold that a davar chashuv is enough; it's enough to be considered a davar shebeminyan if it's sometimes sold by piece. I hold it's only considered a davar shebeminyan if it's always sold by piece. And since the gulei dvela, or the pieces of chatas meat, are not always sold by piece, that's why I hold that they become bottle. Says the Gemara, Maihi. What is the basis, asked the Gemara, for this machloikus, the Tanan? Mishaya chavilei telson. Somebody has bundles of fungicreek, bundles of a spice. Shakale kerem. The halacha is that of kale kerem. The halacha is kale kerem are also by na yidlku. The halacha is that when you have kale kerem, you have to burn it. Because the pasuk says, Pentigdash Hamaleya, and the Gemara Masechta Kedushin Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis teaches us that the definition of Tigdash is Tukat Eish. They must be burnt. This Avu, if this bundle of Kalei Akerim gets mixed up Bacheris with other bundles that are not Klayim, Kulam Yidlku. They all have to be burnt because Ramei's opinion is that these are considered Dava Choshev, and anything which is a Dava Choshev never becomes bottle. The Chama Imrim, the Chama hold that the Shir is Yal Bech Mesayim. The Dalocha is that they are bottle, and the Dalocha is that therefore the Shir of Bittel by Klayim is a Shir of 200 to 1. Since the Shir of Klayim is 100, 200 to 1, when you have that proper ratio, you don't have to burn it. Shahir Ramei Omer, and the Gemara explains what is the basis of the Machloikus of Ramei and the Chachamim. Shahir Ramei Omer, Ramei's opinion is, Kol Shadar Kalim Nois Mekadosh, as long as sometimes you count it, you sell it by piece, it's enough to be considered a Dovah Choshev that doesn't become bottle. The Chama Omer, whereas the opinion of the Chama is, Ein Mekadosh, that the only thing that's considered significant that doesn't become bottle is Shishit Varam Bavad. Only the following six items that the Gemara is going to mention. Because they are always Choshev. Something that is not always Choshev, the halacha is, doesn't become bottle. Kiva essentially agrees with the Chachamim, but he says there are not only six products that have fallen into this category, they're actually Sheva. Elohim, what are they? Agoize Perech. These are types of walnuts that come from a place called Perech. Rimoni Badan. Pomegranates that come from a place called Badan. Chavis Tumis are closed barrel of wine or oil that they're always Chashiv. That are always Chashiv and don't become bottle. There is a Machloikus Rishonim around this because some suggest that anything that's in a sealed barrel is considered choshev. Chalfi tardim, a type of a vegetable. Kalchi kruv, cabbage. Vidlas yavonis. Rav Akiva Moisef, Rav Akiva adds a seventh item. Akikra shabalabayis, where you have a very large loaf of bread that is considered choshev. And as Tosfos explains, the loaves that were baked by people in their homes were very large, and therefore, they don't become bottle. The bread that was baked by bakers in those times wasn't considered so significant and become bottle. However, Tosfos does say, the lechem upon him, even though they weren't such large pieces, they weren't such large loaves, did not become bottle. One explanation is because the lechem upon him was kachim, and since it's kachim, so we always treat kachim in a serious manner. Others say that the reason lechem aponim doesn't become bottle is because it was particularly delicious, particularly very good bread. And since it's very good bread, it doesn't become bottle. Actually, this is the basis for a question that the Trumas Hadeshin discusses. He says that there we know when we light the Hanukkah candles, so we're not allowed to have anor from the Hanukkah candle, but we are allowed to have anor from the shamus of the Hanukkah candles. So the question is that with a Hanukkah, and here we had a mix-up between the Hanukkah candles, which is the shamus, and which is the regular candle. So he says, and it's the concept that we just learned, that something which is kachim never becomes bottle. And therefore, since we have here a Hanukkah candle, the Hanukkah candle is meant to be used for a mitzvah. Anything that's meant to be used for a mitzvah becomes choshev and will never become bottle. It's machloikus achroinim if we actually accept the opinion of Trumas Hadeshin. Continues the Mishnah discussing these various items that do and don't become bottle. Says the Gemara, ruin la orla, orla. Any of these items that could be orla, agoizim, remainim, wine, olive oil, they all grow from a tree. Anything that grows from a tree to be Arla. The halacha is that if there was a mix-up, the halacha is they would not become bottle. L'kale kerem, anything that is kale kerem would have a halacha of kale kerem. Says the Gemara, what is the basis of this machlokes? As we said earlier, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, es shedakalim nashninu, anything that is usually sold is, and by sometimes sold by piece, is not bottle. And therefore he says that the halacha will become bottle. That's the opinion of Rameya. And says Rabbi Yochanan that it has to be something, even Rameya will agree that the only thing that doesn't become bottle is something that's always sold by piece. Something that's sometimes not sold by piece, even Ramey will agree that it becomes bottle. And that's how we could understand why Rabbi Yochanan holds that it has to be something that's always sold by piece. And that's why he says that the reason that the eagle, Shadvela, becomes bottle is sometimes it's not sold by piece. And therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, that brisa cannot be used as a raya that truma bismana zeh is the rabbanim. Whereas Rish Lakish holds that the pshat in Rameya is kol shadakal nashaninu. Rameya's opinion is that as long as it's something that's sometimes sold by peace, it's already considered significant enough not to become bottle. And since then it's considered significant enough not to become bottle, so the eagle shabbat gulim is also something that's sold by peace sometimes. So why does it become bottle? It must be the reason it becomes bottle is because truma bezman hazeh is only the rabbanon. So now we've been able to explain the basis for the machlokes of Yochanan Rish Lakish. Why Rish Lakish used the brisa of eagle shabbat gulim to prove that truma bezman hazeh is the rabbanon versus Rabbi Yochanan, who says that that brisa is not a raya. Says the Gemara, my chaticha. What we learned earlier on Amud Aleph, that a chaticha, the Rabbi Yochanan spoke about the chaticha of chatas, says the Gemara, the Tanya. So the Gemara elaborates on that brisa. The Tanya, chaticha shel chatas tameya, if you have a piece of meat of a karm chatas that became tamei, that got mixed in with 100 pieces of carbon chattis, tar carbon chattis meat, became prusa shalachim aponim, tamayo. You had a piece of lachim aponim that became tamay. Shinas ava b'mei prusa shalachim aponim tairis, that got mixed in with 100 pieces of lachim aponim that are tar, tala. It should become bottle. Rav Yehuda Omer, loy tala. It doesn't become bottle, because we have to be machmer. And the way Rashi explains, the reason we have to be machmer is because it's min b'minoi. And Rabbi Yehuda, as we're going to see soon, holds a min b'minoi. When there are two things that are the same, the halacha is the min b'minoi never becomes bottle. Before we go further, of course, the Rishonim asked the question, why is the halacha that the piece of carbon chattis meat, according to the Tanakama, becomes bottle? Isn't there a halacha of a chaticha ruy l'skabit? Included in the halacha that we mentioned before, that something which is a dovish of a minyan, something which is significant, never becomes bottle, there's another concept, which is called chaticha ruy l'skabit, something which is a significant piece of meat, a significant piece of anything, since again, it's significant, the word that we keep on reusing, the halacha is, it doesn't become bottle. And therefore the question is, why would this chatas meat become bottle? Isn't it a chaticha haruy l'skabit? So some explain that a chaticha of karm chatas meat is never considered a chaticha haruy l'skabit. Meat which only may be eaten by Zichrei Kehuna, by male Kohanim, cannot be considered a chaticha ruy l'skabit. Another pshat that I saw, that even the halacha is that the only place that the Kohanim could eat it is in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you have a food which is limited where you may eat it, you're only allowed to eat it in the Beis HaMikdash, you can't call such a food a chaticha ruy l'skabed. Because if I have all of these limitations, that doesn't make it significant. Ritva explains that we're talking about pieces of meat that are raw. And since it's a piece of meat that's raw, raw meat can never be considered chaticha ruy l'skabed. Because again, the whole concept of chaticha ruy l'skabed is a food that you would give a guest to eat. And of course, it's a very subjective issue, because there are different people and different places and different times. But the concept is a chaticha ruy l'skabed is something that you would serve guests, something that's considered something special. Moreover, the Rishonim point out, the chaticha ruy l'skabed is only when something that it itself is a piece of iser. For example, if you would have a piece of non-kosher meat that's a nevela, that got mixed up, that's a chaticha ruy l'skabed, that got mixed up with other pieces of meat, that's where the halacha is, that that piece of meat would be considered a chaticha ruy l'skabed. But let's say the only reason that piece of meat is osur is because of a blia. You had a piece of kosher meat that had an ablia of something non-kosher. It's still a significant piece of meat, but it's not also because of itself. It's only also because the blia in it, that isn't considered a chaticha ruy l'skabed. Av chaticha shachatas, continues the Braisa, shen tahira, this av b'mechitis shalchul and tahiris. So now, it's not a situation of chatas amongst chatas. The halach is that it's kach mechulin, and similarly, became prusa shalachim upon him tahira, shnis ava mei prusa shacholim tahiris. Their halach is the reakoloi tala. It doesn't become bottle. The reason it doesn't come bottle is because we don't want to rely on bittel if we don't have to. So when we have a piece of chatas tameya that got mixed up with tahira, or a piece of lechem upon him that's tamei, that got mixed up with tahira. So if it's not bottle, no one could eat it. If it is bottle, so we'll have hilchas bittel, that the halacha would be, we have the proper ratio, we'll take out one piece and discard it, and the rest could be eaten. But if we have a case of chatas tahira, that got mixed up with regular chulin tahira, or lechem upon him tahira, that got mixed up with regular bread, this is not a case that we have to rely on bittel. We'll give it to a kohen to eat. And yes, of course, it represents a loss, because meat that can be eaten by everyone is obviously going to be more expensive than meat that can be only eaten to a kohen. But there's no reason to do bittel if we don't have to. But makes the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan makes his point. Ketanimius Reisha, the Reisha said that it's talad, that it becomes bottle. Why? Isn't this considered something which is significant? And still we say that it doesn't become, that it becomes a bottle. So we see that something that sometimes sold b'minyan and sometimes sold not by count and sometimes not becomes bittel. Says Rabbi Yochanan, that from here we see that even something that is sometimes sold that way, the Hanukkah is saying that chaticha tameya that got mixed up with chaticha's tires of bottle arrive. Now, isn't it davar choshev? And sometimes it's sold by piece. Yet the Braisa says that it's bottle. So we see, not like Rabbi Yochanan, not like Rish Lakish, even if it's sometimes sold by piece, the halacha is Ramei will hold that it becomes bottle. Amar Rav Chibur Eid Rav Huna, that Rish Lakish will say that the Braisa is not talking about whole pieces of meat. The Braisa is talking about pieces of meat that were in the moichel, they were dissolved. And that's why they become bottle. But indeed, if you would have a whole piece of meat, the Tanakam would hold that it's not bottle. Because since it's sometimes sold a piece, then the halacha is that it's enough that it should be not be bottle. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that we're talking about dissolved pieces of meat. My hachi, my tam Rabbi Yehuda. Why did Rabbi Yehuda disagree? And Rabbi Yehuda hold that this piece of meat doesn't become bottle. Says the Gemara, as we said earlier, because Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei. Rabbi Yehuda holds that min b'minoi le'bottle. As the Gemara teaches us, the halacha is that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol sprinkles the dam of the par of an axe together with the dam of a sar of a goat. And then, after he does the sprinkling by the Kodesh HaGadoshim, he mixes them together. And the Pasuk says, V'lokach midam par u'midam ha-soyer. You take the dam of par and dam of sar, v'nos na'karas mizbeich soviv. Now the question is, how does the dam of sar retain its identity? How does the Dhammasar retain its identity? Isn't the Tama Par so much more? From here we see that, says Rabbi Yehuda, the Min B'minoi they doesn't become bottle. There is a question, when does Rabbi Yehuda say Min B'minoi doesn't become bottle? Is it only by a Dova Lach, or is it also by a Dova Yavish? L'chaira, our Gemara is a raya that even by Dova Yavish, because here we're talking about pieces of meat, and still he's saying that they don't become bottle. But that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that even though they're nemoichu, and they're certainly not choshev, but since it's min b'minoi, it doesn't become bottle.